Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, Steve Harmison, for the first day's play of the Ashes in 2022. It was a strange old day. It was a stop-start day. Never really got going until the end. And it's probably a day that we'll never, ever speak of again after today. Don't let that put you off, though. You're listening to Following On. Well, if you're listening to the show, you no doubt know by now that only 46 overs were available to the England bowlers after Joe Root lost the third successive toss and was asked to bowl first. And Australia ended it 126 for three. Steve Smith and Usman Khawaja, who batted against England at this very ground, SCG, back in 2010 on another rain-affected day, actually. As you think about it, it's 2011. But there you go. Before that, Australia had overcome the new ball spell of Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad. And it was somewhat of a surprise when David Warner edged to second slip for 30. Need I say who got him? Well, I probably should tell you, Stuart Broad. Need I tell you how I got him? Well, it was bowling around the wicket into the left-hander, straightened, and the edge was taken by Zach Crawley. Kind of dismissal we saw a lot in 2019 and kind of dismissal we would have liked to have seen in 2021, but we didn't. Marcus Harris was undone by a drinks break. He played at one that he probably could have left, but Jimmy Anderson was bowling quite nicely at that stage. I think that was the first ball of his sixth over in the spell. And then when Marnus Labuschagne went in identical fashion to the dismissal we saw in the third test match, Mark Wood getting a delivery to lift, hold its line, and Labuschagne just ever so slightly fenced at the ball. Butler taking the catch 28. England were enjoying their best spell of the game, or indeed any game for quite some time. Australia, though, got through to stumps thanks to the rain, which was there, here and everywhere throughout the day. And Steve Smith ran off the field even faster than the ground staff ran on it. So there we are. There is still some to talk about today, though, on the Following On podcast. Let's get going.
Story of the day.
Okay, Harmy, well, there's no doubt whatsoever what the big story of the day is. It's Bangladesh beating the World Test champions in New Zealand. Tell you what, it's typical New Zealand. That's where I am right now, as you know. You can't move for Kiwis telling me how brilliant it is that Bangladesh beat them. I mean, it's a very strange country. But, you know, there's three test matches taking place today. And I'd have to say that the Ashes comes a distant third, because India and South Africa, or South Africa against India, of course, are also playing at the Wanderers. But for you, I imagine staying up throughout the night, that must have been torturous at times, because it was on, off. You never knew whether you were going to get 2 hours, an hour, 45 minutes to get your head down. You're kind of hoping that maybe if the rain was coming, it would just come in at about 3 o'clock in Australia. It'd be called off by five. Off you go. But it wasn't. It was completely the wrong upside down way of going. It's difficult really to make a judgment call on a day that really tells us very little, apart from the fact that England ended it far stronger than they started.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Bangladesh, what a result that is, by the way. That's a fantastic result for Bangladesh. And yeah, my old pal Otis Gibson there. I seen him singing the song in the big huddle there. Yeah. You know, big West Indian banging his feet, you know, singing proud Barbados. You know, I'm chuffed a bit for Otis and Bangladesh, because you know, it just shows you what can happen test matches if you work hard and you know, you put the opposition under constant pressure, and you just never know what can happen. And that's what's probably gonna happen at Sydney as well. India, South Africa looks as though it's going to be a good contest over in 3 days, but it's still a good contest. I think England's had a good day. I really do. I think this pitch is not a bad pitch. It worries me about Lyon, because I think Lyon might bowl all right on this pitch, better than Leach could bowl on it. Even though I thought Jack bowled two overs. I thought he bowled two good overs. He bowled 11 good balls in one ball that he sort of dragged down and dragged into leg side. But encouraging signs from Leach. England stuck at the task, stuck at it well. And yeah, Labuschagne, when you look at him, you thought, right, he's getting in here. And then England, you know, Woody gets him out. It was a good ball, good bit of bowling, you know, wide the crease. Broad Anderson did what Broad Anderson do best, but they did it English style rather than Southern Hemisphere style. Again, I found myself not criticising them, because who are you to criticise 1,000 first, you know, test match wickets? But I thought Jimmy bowled a touch wide in his first five overs, and I thought Stewart, and I could understand with Stewart, because he was struggling with the foot holes, and when the foot holes are damp and they're a bit greasy, you do drag the ball down and you've got nothing on it. And I thought his first four or five overs, he bowled, you know, a few dragged down balls, probably because of the foot holes he didn't trust. So after 10 overs, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, We haven't used this new ball at all. We haven't used it very well. And then when next 10 overs, we sort of dragged it back a bit, got the wicket. And that's England's day for me. It really is. I think it's England's day. We've been critical of the team selection. We've been critical of toss. We've been critical a little bit of Joe's captaincy and handling the likes of Jack Leach. But I thought Joe had a good day today. I thought he captained it very, very well. I thought his bowling changes were proactive to try and make a breakthrough. And then he, along with Zach Crawley, took a good catch. So I think all in all, I thought Roots had a good day. I thought England's bowlers have had a good day. And you come out tomorrow morning, get grey skies, grey clouds, and you put two wickets on it, especially if one of them Smith and it's 150 for five, England will be right in the box seats to sort of make the running of this test match.
Yeah, you summed it up well. Going back to that new ball, though, and actually, there was a bit of swing the first session and it disappeared, but then there was more seam movement after they got the ball change, basically.
Ball change, yeah.
Which is just a crazy game, really, isn't it? But in terms of that new ball spell, you know, there's all this talk about caged tigers. Graham Thorpe used the phrase in the lead up to the match. But I didn't really see much intensity or caged tigers in the first 12.3 overs before they went to lunch from either Anderson or Broad, to be honest with you.
I thought Brodie was struggling with his feet. And as a bowler, I know what it's like when you don't have confidence when you're landing. Jimmy constantly kicked the footholds. And it just seems maybe he's a little bit uneven. You know, it was a bit loose. And when you're like that, trying to land and have no confidence landing is psychologically, it's hard. It's hard. You know, the human, keep going on about human elements, but the human element to trust you letting go at the right time, your stable base, stable footing, it's difficult when it's moving away. I thought Jimmy swung it too much in the first three or four overs. Didn't make Warner or Harris play enough. But that's what these two guys do, especially in England. You know, you've got a player like David Warner who wants to put bat and ball, and they starved him a little bit, and then he played a shot that he'll have nightmares for the next few days for against Broad. So I think it was the cage tiger come out, like Grimthorpe said. All of a sudden, you could overpitch, try and swing it too much, go at six and over, and then all of a sudden, you get criticised for being reckless. Broad and Anderson aren't reckless. They never are. They never will be. Even till the bowl till the 50, they'll bowl containing, they'll bowl with good disciplines, and they'll wait for the batsman to come to them. In England, it works because the ball does a lot more for a longer period. This Kookaburra ball does a little bit more than what it used to do, and that saved them a little bit. But I think all in all, as a collective unit, I think if you look at 46.5 overs, I think England have bowled really, really well here. And they've got Australia in a position on a pitch which is quite easy paced and quite placid. The odd one did a bit. I think 126 for three. I think the bowling unit and Joe would be very happy tonight.
You spoke about Stuart Broad with Neil Manthorpe on the Cricket Collective a couple of days ago. Check it out if you haven't heard it. But one of the articles in the Telegraph was suggesting that Stuart Broad's got two tests to save his career. And by save, they were intimating that not only will it come down to the performance, but whether he wants to continue his career. He's going to be stepping into the media, into the commentary box at some point. Do you see that? Is that how you see it? I mean, if one of them's going to go, surely it's going to be Anderson. Stuart Broad, as you said, Cricket Collective's got 4 years on Anderson. If England are going to make a decision that they are going to move on from Anderson abroad, then surely it's Anderson that they'll turn to and say, thanks for the memories.
Yeah, I think so. I think Jimmy makes that decision himself, probably at the end of the summer. I think they both play at the end of the summer. Whether they walk off Curtly Ambrose, Courtney Walsh style, you know, Shane Warne, Glenn McGrath. But I think Stuart's got 100 wickets left in him. I really do. I think he's got 100 wickets left in him. I'm not sure I'd take them both to the West Indies, because I don't think that, I'm not sure. I think I'd look at the West Indies trip and try and get some, you know, have a look at some other people. Bear in mind, you know, when it comes to the COVID world they've lived in and the bubbles that they've been going through, to put them in another bubble soon after and then get them back and ready for the start of the season, and you don't know what the COVID world's going to be like in England throughout the summer and there's any restrictions on that. I think a lot of these guys I would give a break to for the West Indies and see what other younger players who have been doing all right with the Lions or, you know, who potentially has put their hands up to have a go. I'm thinking of the likes of Mahmood, who is playing in the BBL. There were some good noises coming out of Australia for Lions for young Fisher. The likes of Joe Clark, Yates, these kids, you know, we haven't seen a great deal of Pope and Lawrence. I'll give them a go. You know, I'm trying to freshen the mind. And people that have gone to the World T20 and been in this tour, maybe it's a break because, you know, COVID world has been tough on them. But Broad plays for me. I really don't see it. I think Robinson is challenging Broad, but he's not Stuart Broad. And that, for me, I'll not change that mind. 6 months' time, I might change my mind because Broad will be six months older. He'll have 6 months more cricket inside him. And Robinson hopefully will have had a little few more test matches. His condition of his body will be a lot better. And his position in the side will be getting more strength, because I think that kid can bowl in test match cricket. Wood is a must, or somebody like Wood is a must every time England play a test match. Whether it's Stone, whether it's Archer, whether it's Wood, we've seen so far we can't play without a fast man. We can't. It's just we're not the same side. And I still think Jimmy is, you throw any name at me. You can throw Wokes at me. You can throw Overton at me. All these other bowlers that have been picked in the squad. Jimmy will still come out on top. So there's a fine balance when you say, right, we've both got to go and let's move on. And we weaken our side for 6 months and hoping that somebody comes out of the woodwork and gets better. We've been trying for 2 years to not play them both in the same side. We've been trying for 2 years to potentially, you know, think, can we do without them? 2 years later, they're still playing. They're still performing. And arguably, they're still the best we've got. That's why I still have the opinion of Stuart Broad and James Anderson as two guys. Over the calendar year, I'd probably play them in 80 to 85% of the test matches played because of how good they are. Simple as that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, you confident ahead of day two?
I am. I'm confident ahead of day two. I think England can use today as confidence to go into tomorrow and build off it. And I think the reason why I'm confident is because the ball has obviously been better than the bat. And the ball could put us in a position where if England can bowl Australia out for 270, 250, 270, then all of a sudden it's not that 400 target that we have to go for. You know, not scoreboard pressure. So it'll be a lot easier psychologically for the batting unit who aren't firing to start building a score, getting close to Australia and hopefully then go past Australia if England can do that. So, yes, I'm confident for tomorrow. Fingers crossed we get some nice weather early in the morning for bowling. That change ball, we're still doing a bit. So fresh Broad, fresh Anderson, fresh Wood. First up tomorrow morning, get rid of Steve Smith. And then you can, you know, hopefully bowl Australia out for less than 275, less than 300. And that for me then stands England a good chance of winning again.
Harmy, go and get some sleep. We'll be back on the following podcast following day two.